that very much. And so somebody came up to me a little while ago and said, so you're the guy that gave him that advice? Now we know who to blame. But anyway. So, no, just kidding. But that was something along that line, but not exactly like that. So I'm getting old. I can't remember things unless they didn't happen. So that's the process. Well, I'm glad to be here. You don't know me at all. This is your first time seeing me, hearing me, and all that kind of thing. I got saved in February 1973 at a church down in Hayden, Ohio, which is just outside of Hilliard, Ohio, which is where I grew up. And I do have the lapel mic on, right? There we go. I hear it. Thank you. And so that's where I got saved. That's where I announced my call to preach. That's where my wife and I got married almost, well, it'll be 49 years in October. What else was it? Announced call to preach, got married there, and all that kind of thing. Well, anyway, so that's I went to college in 1978, graduated from high school in 1968, went to college in 1978. Thankfully, my SAT scores were good in 1968 because I didn't have to take bonehead English in 1978. But anyway, so I should have taken bonehead English, but I didn't have to. So anyway, my freshman English class, Brother Choma, all it was the whole semester was diagramming sentences. No, it wasn't fun. I think she extended mercy and grace on my final exam. Diagramming sentences, who cares? But anyway, but I passed all that and graduated in 1982. And a month later, month from graduating, that's when I started Grace Baptist Church in Delaware, Ohio. Pastored there for 13 years, and we moved actually in 95 in October, I think it was, or November, down to Texas, and I've been living there, going to that church ever since, and traveling the country. And one of the young men here asked me, where did he go? He asked me, you know, explain to me your ministry. And so I gave him, you know, just a nutshell. Harvest America Ministry, I started that, actually, that idea when I was at Grace Baptist. And I took it with me and, of course, became a part of church in Longview. I'm out of that church. So I am a local church evangelist, I think is very important. And I'm a King James Bible man. I've written a book about it. It's back there on the table. I wrote a book on the inspiration, preservation, and translation of the Bible, and how we ended up with the King James Bible and why we use it. Okay, and that's what that book is all about. And so basically I started it with the idea of, okay, people at my church were asking, okay, I'm going on vacation, where can I go to church? And there were a couple times when I tried to find the church, I couldn't find one close to where they were going. And so I kind of said, okay, you know, let's try to help get more churches started. Let's be an encouragement to churches that are in existence. Let's go out and preach and go soul winning and the whole gamut of things, and do missions conferences, revivals, all that. And so that's what I've been doing since 1995. And I've also been able to go to some different countries in the world, and I've been to Haiti, I've been to Mexico, of course, I'm right there in Texas. And I went to India in 2014 when I was 64. I rode my bicycle 100 miles in 6 hours and 22 minutes to raise the money when I was 64 years old, to raise the money to get to India. And so I was able to do that. Pastor Manning down in Lancaster, he rode with me. And we, you know, did the drafting thing, and the last 40 miles I stayed behind him. He kind of pulled me, and I was pretty tired. But I've been going in different countries. In 2019, I was able to go to Zimbabwe before everything shut down, and England in 2019. But the trip to Zimbabwe really kind of woke me up, kind of got me going more with missions. So I've been preaching a lot of missions messages the past few years. I was scheduled to go to 3 different countries last year, but because of COVID restrictions, all three got canceled. I'm scheduled now in September, September 15th, I'm flying to Uganda and Kenya. I've got some national pastors there that I'll be meeting with and preaching different conferences there. We're just going to keep going. Tomorrow morning I'm getting a Zoom call, supposed to be getting a Zoom call from India, where I'll be teaching about 45 pastors for about half an hour. A man in Thailand, a good friend of mine, I know him, he came to our college in Texas, he's in Thailand now. He was asking me some Bible questions and then asking me about how to get into translating the Bible into the Thai language, because they have a pretty decent Bible, but there are some problems in it. And you mentioned Brother Fielder. Is that Ken Fielder? Okay, I know him very well. He was an assistant pastor and pastor for a while at People's Baptist Church in Mansfield. And he's a very good man. I really appreciate him and his work with translation and all that. So, but this man, he said, "Brother man, you need to come to Thailand and teach a Bible conference. Would you be interested in coming?" I said, "Yes, I'd be interested in coming." He's advertising it already. He said, "Pray for Brother Man when he comes to Thailand to teach a Bible conference." I mean, he's advertised, and I just said I'd be interested in coming. So I guess I'm going. Man, I've got an invitation to go to Zambia. I've got an invitation. This is a unique one. I have an invitation to go to where was it? I just went blank. Pakistan. Yeah, Pakistan. Anybody want to go with me? And so things have just kind of been opening up in different areas of the country and different parts of the world. But you pray, because this financial thing, the price of gas is really, really affecting us. I'll tell this story real quick, and then I'll get into the message. And I didn't tell you this part of the story from our trip to Florida. My wife and I went to Florida in March, and for the past 6 years, we've had a 40-foot fifth-wheel camper that we pull. So we're pulling that to Florida, and usually the cost of diesel, I have a 7.3 F-250 diesel, 7.3 diesel, and usually the price of diesel there and back would be around $600. Well, this time it was close to $1,200. Okay. Now, I'm preaching in six different churches, but one of them was the National King James Conference that I preached in, and I go there on my nickel. There's no love offering. There's no travel expense money. There's nothing. You go, I sell my books, and that pays my way. But there are five churches that I'm preaching in, other churches that I'm preaching in while I'm in Florida. To get to Florida, I took money out of our savings, and by the time we got to the very first church, I'm broke. I had no cash. I had enough diesel in the truck. I knew I could make it to the next church. I was able to sell a couple books, and that helped us a little bit with the thing. But I determined, okay, I need to repay what I took out of savings. So the love offering from the first two churches repaid the savings money. Okay. Then I knew I needed to have enough money to get home on, and I knew approximately how much it was going to cost. So the next two churches' love offering, I set that aside for the diesel money to get home. So far, I haven't made any money. Okay, the fifth church, my wife and I were there for a week. I do carpentry work. I do all sorts of things. I'm your handy man, M-A-N-N. I don't have enough time here, but I can't help you. But anyway, it's like when you have a pickup truck, everybody wants to borrow it. Well, when they find out you know how to do things, they want you to do it. So anyway, but I do when I can. I've helped build a house for a pastor in North Carolina when I was there for a revival. We'd work on the house from 8 to 12, take a break, get something to eat, go out soul winning from 1 to about 4, and then preach every night for a week. But I got there on Monday. By Friday, we had it under roof. So no, I cannot help you. But anyway, where was I going with this story? But anyway, Florida. Yeah, Florida. So finally, you know, the last church I'm in, we're there for a week, and we're, you know, there's a nice place for us to park the camper there on the church property and everything. Well, they have this little house that they call it their mission house, and I've stayed in it quite a few years ago, and it's just a one-bedroom little kind of house. Well, they were going to fix it up because he was getting ready to sell their house and move into this for a little while, and until he can figure out what he's going to do. And so he needed to put some trim up, okay? Put some trim around the ceiling. And so I said, I can do that. I'll do that for you. I'm there for a week, and so I did that, and I preached on Wednesday night, and I preached on Sunday. And he gave us a very good love offering, and so I finally made some money after preaching in five churches in Florida. So you pray, this financial thing, it's hitting everybody, but we're still going to go. We're still going to go. But we sold the camper. We're getting ready to sell the 7.3 diesel. I'm driving the 2002 F-150 with a 4.6 gas engine in it, which is about a buck and a half cheaper per gallon, but we're making it. I've slept in my truck recently. On the way to Ohio on this trip, I slept in a tent. I have my camping equipment out there, and so that's why my wife is not with me. But anyway, you know, I came on this trip, and you know, I knew basically where I was going to stay up till tonight. I've got another week. That next week, I had no idea where I would be staying. So I brought my camping equipment, okay? But don't feel sorry for me. Everything's all right. I'll be standing in a really, really, really nice place down in Columbus for the next week. Everything's working out fine. I won't have to be sleeping on the ground for the next week. But anyway, but I have learned, whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Don't complain about it. Just go at it. Just go at it. That's why I want to go with you tonight in this message. I want you to turn with me to Psalm chapter number 71, I believe it is. Psalm chapter number 71. Your couple that came, I can't remember their last name, to play. Yeah, though. I was teasing with them, because when I met them, I didn't know they were here, you know, out of this church. And then I found out they're in this church, and they, you know, they listen to me in Sunday school, they listen to me Sunday morning, and then the afternoon service. And I said, look, I'm going to have to get another message now, because you're going to be here. But they're another part of the building, I guess. But so some of this I said then, but this is a completely, totally, totally different message. I've been preaching a lot in the past few years about missions. I've been preaching and teaching a lot about the Bible the past couple of years. It took me about 7 years to write that book with the research and not able to keep at it all the time. You know, I'd work on it for a while, then I wouldn't work on it for a while. Then so it took me 7 years from start to finish by the time I got it done and published. So, but I've been preaching a lot about that. But here lately, I've become an expert at something else. I've become an expert at being old. Because after all, I am older today than I've ever been in my life. So are you. But I'm 71. Okay? I should be retired by now. I should be living in the villages down in Florida with my Bermuda shorts on and playing shuffleboard all day. No. I don't wear shorts. I can prove it. But you don't want to see how white my legs are. Okay? But It's kind of amazing. The Word of God is very amazing, and the Holy Spirit in your life. That, and I told him earlier that today down at Brother Smale's church. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible. I've never kept track of it. I've never, you know, and I rarely do the thing where you start at Genesis and go all the way through Revelation. I've done that. I more than not, I'll go to a particular book and I'll be reading and studying that book for a while. Then I'll go to another book and read and study that book for a while. I've got a notebook at home and I'm studying the book of Psalms, And I'm slowly going through the minor prophets. I think I'm in Joel right now. And so I'm going through these things, but I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible. But isn't it amazing how that as you're reading the Bible, it literally will almost jump out at you at a certain verse or a certain passage at a certain time in your life when you are in need? And you've read those verses before, but they never just really kind of jumped out at you. You never really noticed them until something was going on or something in your life, there's something lacking or something that was needed in your life. And you sit down and you read the Bible and it just kind of wham, it just kind of hits you broadside and wow, why didn't I see that before? I've read through the Bible. I've been there. I've read those verses before. But I never noticed them until a particular time. Well, here I am. I'm 70. 71. How old am I? I'm 71. I'll be 72 in October, which means when I get to Uganda and Kenya, I will almost be 72 years old. How ridiculous is it for a almost 72-year-old man to get on an airplane and fly for hours and then get out in a place called Uganda where there are black mambas that if they bite you, there is a 100% chance you will die. COVID, you have a 98% chance of living. I would rather catch COVID. Okay? There are other snakes. There's the spitting cobra there. There's the puff adder snake there. That any one of them bites you, it's poisonous. And it can either kill you or you get really, really sick. I just have a desire to... Are these real? I'm going to eat them. I was looking at those earlier, but anyway. But I mean, in Zimbabwe, I've got a picture of it back there. Zimbabwe, back in November 2019, I went there with a team of men. There were 11 of us, and I'm no longer part of that organization because they've gone liberal. They're anti-Baptist, they're anti-King James. They dropped it all. They quit our church. They went haywacky. So I'm no longer part of them. I separated from them. I'm not having to do anything to do with them. So I'm having to do some stuff on my own. But when I was there, we camped out in Zimbabwe in our tents for like a week and a half. In a village called Zukwe. There's 11 of us. There had been no rain for 2 years, practically. All the grass is burned up and gone. You go across the bridge and there's no water down there. The lakes are shut down. There's no water in the lakes. There's a town called Bulawayo, the second largest town in Zimbabwe, and they would turn off the water for 4 days, turn it on for 3 hours, and you better be ready with buckets and whatever you can to get some water. And so there we were in Zimbabwe in intense heat. And I think it was, I live in Texas, and you know, the heat down there recently, the temperature has been in triple digits and whatever, so I'm kind of used to that. But I'm also able in Texas or wherever it's hot to be able to go into a building and cool off because they've got air conditioning. In Zukwe, there was no electricity available anywhere. So there's no air conditioning. There's no way to run a fan, even. There's very little water. When we did get water, good water, we had to ration it out. We had three sources of water. Our school team, when they would go to a different school, they would go into the village, and there's almost always a store somewhere. And if they could find one of those 5-gallon bottles of water, they'd buy it. They'd bring it back to camp, and we'd have to ration it out between 11 men and stay hydrated. We would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and there would be ladies there from the village. They'd go out and find water somewhere. They'd carry it in 5-gallon buckets on their head or in their hands, And they would get there and they'd start a fire and they would start boiling that water that they found on the ground somewhere. When we got there and started setting up our camp, it did rain a little bit that night. They don't pen in their animals. So you've got donkeys running free, you've got cattle running free that are starving and thirsty. You've got goats that are running free, you've got dogs that are running free, and everywhere they go, they leave a trail behind them. I just found out there on your bulletin board, what gives square poop. I thought, I can go to bed now, I've learned something today, I'm done for the day. But the reason that people in those nations, before you go into their house, or before they would go into a church building, they take their shoes off. And the reason is they don't want to pollute, they don't want to have what they walk on to come into their house. Does that make sense to you? And to show respect to God in India, I was preaching in that jungle church, there's a picture of it back there, and just a small little church, and the people in that village make $2 a day pulling tea leaves in the tea fields right next to Nepal. And the ladies, that we got to the church, and the ladies took their shoes off and they went in. But before they went in, they got sticks, and they went in and made a bunch of noise. And I asked the guys with us, what are they doing? They said they're chasing any snakes out that might be in there, like cobras. And I said, can I help you make noise? You know, but you take your shoes off before you go in. And, you know, to make the noise and everything. But so there I am in Zimbabwe, and it rained a little bit that night. Now, I have a thing that you put water in. It's called a life straw, which has a filter in it that they say can clean 99.8% of the impure things out of your water. I'm standing there with that in my hand on that first morning that we were after we set up camp, and it rained a little bit, did rain a little bit that night. They attributed it to the, because the Americans came. And so there's a puddle of water, and I'm standing there looking at that water, and I see what's been left behind by all these animals, and I'm thinking, do I really want to test this thing out? Okay. We had three sources of water. One is the 5-gallon bottles of water that they would find and we would buy. The second source was that organization a few years before that was able to drill a water well about 45 minutes away from us, and it's pretty clean, pretty decent. You can drink it. It's kind of okay. The third source is from the ground, and of course you don't drink that water. And so there we are, and, you know, that trip, I think the reason it affected me so much is because we lived with the people. All the other places I went, I stayed in somebody's home, I stayed in an apartment, I stayed in a motel. But this one, I slept out on the ground with the people. We had more amenities in our tent than they have in their house, which is a little hut, thatched roof, the whole thing, Africa style. But there they are. There they are. So it's affected me greatly. But I've been preaching, again, a lot on this, but here I am now, 71, almost 72 years old. And these messages, I've preached them, and somebody suggested I write a book and put these in a book. And I'm going to be working on that, so pray that I live long enough to do it. But I'm finding verses that have always been there, but I never saw them until recently. And this is one of them. Psalm 71, verses 7 through 12. Psalm 71, verses 7 through 12. Said verse number 7, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. There's one of those verses. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Why? For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. I'm going to pray, and we'll get into it. That was the introduction. Now I'm getting into the message, and we'll be done here in a little bit. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us. And I pray that you help me as I go through this, And I pray this will be a help to these folks. They're tired. They've had vacation Bible school this week. And maybe they're hungry. I don't know. But I pray, Father, that you just speak to hearts tonight. Thank you for the influence of this church in this area and for the pastor and these good people here. Please speak to us through your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So there we have, there in Psalm 71, verse number 9, here's one of the fears of a person as they get older. We have the fear that God will just kind of sideline us. And so the psalmist writes under inspiration, cast me not off in the time of old age. God, please don't forget about me. Don't cast me off. And Father, when my strength gets weak, please don't forget about me. Please don't forsake me when my strength faileth. Nobody wants to feel like they're worthless. Everybody wants to feel relevant. Everybody wants to have a part. I mean, I've run into 90-year-olds, and they want to feel important, and they are important. You're going to be 90 one of these days, and you're not going to want people to just put you off in the corner somewhere and forget about you. That's why it's so great to go to nursing homes and talk to those people. They've done some great things in their life, and we're losing the history of these people and all these different things. But here's one of the things we worry about. God, please don't cast me off in time of old age. And God, please don't forsake me when my strength faileth. Why? Because my enemies are watching. I am persuaded that everybody is just as important to everybody else, no matter how old you get. I'm persuaded that the oldest person in this church is just as valuable and even more valuable than even the youngest person in this church. That we have a tendency, oh, they're old. Put them off in the corner. Don't ask them to do anything. Don't give them a responsibility. They're old. And sometimes the old people we get to the point where we say, well, let's let the younger people do it. Let's let this young man do it who's 13 years old and he rides the bus all the time and he helped the vacation Bible school. I'm too old for this. Let him do it. Your enemies are waiting for you to fail so they can have something to accuse you of. And for some old person who just gives up and who just quits in this thing and stops going to church and stops reading their Bible and they retire and all of a sudden all their standards change and they don't read their Bible anymore and they don't talk about soul winning anymore and they don't talk about the things of God anymore. Their enemies will say, yeah, I knew there was nothing to your religion. God, don't cast me off in my old age. God, please don't forsake me when my strength faileth because mine enemies speak against me. And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him. Well, not only that, but you go over to verse number 17. Oh God, I'm cutting it short here a little bit. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Why? Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. Our enemies are watching for us to fall, but we also have this generation watching us and needing us to step up to the plate. Do I know you? You look awfully familiar. You've got a twin sister. You've got a twin brother. I'm telling you, there's another guy around here. No, not you, Kelly. There's somebody else around here who looks like a friend of mine. He's a pastor in Georgia. This is spooky around here. Goodness gracious. And then you tell me I met you 27 years ago and wow. Life is going by. Now I forget where I was going. Okay. This generation. I want to show this generation thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. So we've got people watching us to fall, even in our old age. And even in our old age, we have young people that we need to teach. By the way, if you go to Titus chapter number 2, you'll see that the older are supposed to teach the younger. Older people have a responsibility. Okay, but there's a verse in Proverbs. I think it's in chapter 16. It says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in righteousness. It's a crown of glory if you be found in righteousness. There's a lot of old people that I have no confidence in whatsoever. I wouldn't trust them with my dog. Why? They're not living a righteous life. They're not living for God. They could care less about the things of God. I wouldn't leave my grandchildren with them. I don't trust them. I don't trust what they might say, what they might try to do, what they might try to influence my grandkids to do. Are you with me on this? And so the hoary head, the gray hair, the old man, the old lady, the old woman, is a crown of glory if it be found in righteousness. Well, so the psalmist writes, oh God, please don't forsake me when my strength fails. Don't cast me off in the time of old age. Oh God, I have a responsibility to this generation. And even when I'm old and gray-headed, oh God, please don't forsake me until I have showed thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. We still have a responsibility. There's no place to quit. No place to quit. Now, I'm not against relaxing and taking it easy. Tomorrow I'm going to play some golf with Brother Smale. I'm going to beat the pants off of him, I'll tell you that. Tuesday, I'm going to play some golf with some other guys. And one guy, it's his first time playing golf. You say, I don't like golf. I don't think it's preachers who play golf. And then when you become a preacher, don't play golf. It's okay. I'm all right. And I don't get to play it much. This will be like my fifth time playing in a year. I don't get sidetracked on this thing. You know, I don't spend all my time and I don't have the money to do it. But it's fun to do every now and then. When I was riding my bicycle all the time, I'd go riding almost every day and I'd put 15, 20, 25, 30 miles on my bicycle a day in my 60s. Well, why did I do that? Well, because it's cheap. It's free. Didn't have to pay to do it. Okay? Now I'm playing golf again. Oh boy. $25 a time. But anyway, whatever it is. But 2 Timothy 2:2, it tells us that the old man Paul says to Titus, he said, Titus, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same thing commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's four generations of people in that verse. There's Paul, there's Titus, there's the faithful men, and there's others. May I say to you this, younger people, One of the things that they're trying to get our younger people to do is stop reading the King James Bible and stop having standards and stop living for God. They're calling us all sorts of things. They're calling us legalists because we wear a suit. They say you wear a suit. The only reason you wear a suit is because you're an independent fundamental Baptist. I can take you to Africa where they don't even know what an independent fundamental Baptist is, and those people wear suits. It's not because you have to do it in order to get right with God. I just believe a preacher ought to wear a suit. Now, everybody else, it's up to you. But as a preacher, I've always wore a suit. I was in Alaska preaching in Wasilla. It was a Wednesday night. The pastor came to me and said, "Well, brother man, I don't wear a suit on Wednesday night." I said, "Okay." So I came downstairs. The room was upstairs in the church. I came downstairs in my suit. That's what I do. That's just what I do as a preacher. Okay? Now, you're not a preacher. I'm not after you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But as a preacher, because it shows I believe it shows a direction. I saw a preacher in Texas. I saw it. He got up to teach his people in faded blue jeans. This is a Sunday morning, Brother Choma. He got up in faded blue jeans that looked like he'd just come in from working out in the yard in them. He had on a shirt that was untucked, and I could tell it had been tucked in because all around here was wrinkled. That's what he's teaching and preaching in to his people on Sunday morning. It's sloppy looking for a preacher. For a preacher. Now, I work in my yard all the time. What am I wearing? I'm wearing sloppy-looking blue jeans. And I'm wearing, you know, I go through two or three shirts a day in Texas. because of the perspiration and the humidity and all that kind of thing. I shouldn't have got in on that because I'm sorry. But anyway. But we're to teach the next generation. Who's supposed to teach the next generation? Who's supposed to teach the next generation? And we're supposed to teach the same thing, not the different things. This is what was taught to me, the King James Bible. I am to take the same thing and teach it to the next generation. Why? It works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Amen. And there are other reasons I use King James only. Well, I don't have time to get into all that. But 2 Timothy tells us what we need to do. Now here's the crux of the message. Here's where I kind of get crazy. Not too long ago, Brother White, I sat down in church. And I wrote down a few questions. Here's the questions. Question number one, am I done? I'm 71. I'm sitting at my church, at the home church, and I ask myself a question, am I done? Question number two, am I of any worth? I'm having a pity party because I'm old and I'm getting good at it. Am I of any worth to anybody? You know, I've preached on radio before. I've made recordings for radio things before. And as you're making the recording, you're sitting there wondering, is anybody out there listening to this thing? I started doing a podcast just about a month and a half, 2 months ago, because I'm setting myself up to continue to do things when I can't travel anymore. I can still study my brains out. I can still make outlines. I can still do some teaching and preaching on my podcast. And I check it all the time. Is anybody listening to the podcast? Well, thankfully, 13 different countries are listening so far, and every state in the United States is listening so far. My problem is I'm getting requests to be a member of my podcast from all these Muslim-sounding people. Do I let them become a member of my thing, or are they trying to get into my computer? I mean, there's names there. You can't read it because it's written in Iraqi. I'm thinking, do I or don't I? I don't know. I've accepted a lot of them. And so far, I'm okay. Nope, my bank account is still at zero, so there's no problem there. But every now and then you start feeling, do I have anything left to give? These are the questions I asked. Jeremiah one time in Jeremiah chapter number 20, he got arrested again. He got put in jail again, prison again. And finally, I'm just going to paraphrase, he said, that's it. I've had it. I'm done. I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. I'm done with it. Nobody's listening to me anyways. Every time I speak, they throw me in prison again. And all I've done is tell them what God told me to tell them. And they don't like it. I'm done. I'm not going to speak anymore in His name. I quit. God, I quit. But then he said, but I can't quit. There's a fire in my bones. So even in the worst of situations, preacher, he said, and we get there, don't we? Why should I go on anymore? Why should I go through all this? Why? I got to raise money, and we don't have the money to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got this person that they loved me for 13 years, and I said one thing out of form, and now they don't like me, and they're going to quit the church. I remember preaching one time. I was pastoring. I had the piano on this side, and I had the organ on this side. And I'm aggravated. I'm not preaching, I'm aggravated. Because somebody a few weeks before that gave me some lights to put out along the sidewalk out front. They gave it to me. At that time, I didn't know how to do anything like that. So I said, well, thank you very much. And I turned around and put it in a room. And it was still in the room weeks later when I'm aggravated that morning. And I got to preaching. And I went in that room and I pulled them out and I put them down on the thing. Yeah, you gave them to me. You expect me to do everything. I'm waxing eloquent, aren't I? I'm just biblical. I'm bringing out verses. And no, I'm not. I'm just aggravated and I'm walking around and I go by the organ and Satan threw my leg out towards the back of that organ. I kicked a hole in the back of the organ. No, it wasn't Satan that did it. It was me. Took the breath out of the room. And I said in my mind, oh, I'm done. I'm done. But then I doubled dumb down on it. I said, what are you worried about that hole in the back of the organ for? I raised the money to buy it, and I'll raise the money to fix it. In other words, they're going to pay for my stupidity. Every one of them had reason to just walk out. I gave it to them on a silver platter. But you know what they did Sunday night? They came back to church. Wow. Good people. Good people. Lousy pastor, but good people. Oh my goodness. The mistakes I made, the stupid things I did. But every now and then we just get in the office. I'm done. I can't do anymore. What do they expect me to do? I just can't. But then there's something inside you, Brother Choma, that just says, no, you're not done yet. You're not done yet. So you start getting old and you start fitting the description of Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, where things are dimmer at night because you're losing your vision. You're losing your hearing. I've lost 60% of my hearing. So if you talk to me and I just kind of... it's because I couldn't figure out what you said. So please just say it again. So you start fitting that description. The grinders cease because they're few. Your teeth are falling out of your head. And now you have to use baby formula instead of real food, and you can't find the baby formula anymore. And you start feeling, am I done? But that fire starts up again. Yeah. And you can't quit. You can't quit. Romans chapter number 1, please, quickly. Here's the Apostle Paul. There's a phrase in Romans chapter 1 that really, really gripped me one day. Romans chapter number 1, we'll start reading at verse number 14. Now let me give you a little background here. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. And in this chapter he said, I would love to have come to you before now, but I couldn't get there. I wanted to come to you real bad, but I couldn't. But now he's writing the Christians at Rome. I have no idea how old he is here. But he said in verse number 14, I am debtor. That's not the phrase. I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, and both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So as I'm reading through this, I started thinking about the Apostle Paul and his life. And I remember then, and I'll come back to this in just a second, but I remember some of the things that Paul described that happened to him in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, starting at verse 22. Listen to this. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice or 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned at Lystra. They picked up rocks and stoned him. They thought to death. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Apostle Paul had some things happen to him and his physical body. What kind of condition was he in Romans chapter number 1? I have no idea. But here's a man who was beaten with rods. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. He got shipwrecked 3 times. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He went through some things. He had some scars on his body from the stoning and from the beatings and from the slappings and from all that he went through. And yet he writes to the Romans, maybe in old age, I don't know. But here's what he said in verse 15. So as much as in me is. Whatever I've got left, it's his. If I die in Uganda, just bury me there. I don't care. Doesn't matter. I find no place to quit. I find no place to retire. I find no place to resign. I'm not just an evangelist. I'm a Christian. There are people out there that need our help. Who will go? Lord, here am I. I'll go. Brother Choma, I wrestled with this trip for months. Should I go? 71. I'll be 72. Do I have it in me to do it? We'll find out. So as much as in me is, preacher, I'll drive across the country if I need to. I'll sleep in a tent if I need to. I'll sleep in my truck if I need to. I'll go without food if I need to. I'll go without the necessities if I need to. Because there's somebody out there that wants what I've got. Preacher, can you come to Thailand? I'll get some preachers together and you can teach about the Bible. And you can help us understand how to get the train. Can you help us, brother man? I'll think about it. But I'm going, I guess. I'm going to write him a letter and say, where's the check for the flight? You're telling me I'm coming. You're telling people I'm coming. We'll get it somehow. I'll say this and I'll quit. I was in Missouri. The tickets for this trip are $1,265. I didn't have it. I just pulled out my credit card, paid for them. I was in Missouri just a few weeks ago, and I made mention. All I said was, I'm going to Uganda. You know, told them about the trip a little bit. A couple days later, I'm there for the week. A couple days later, one of the men that works at that ministry come to me, hands me a check. It wasn't for $12,056 or whatever it was, $1,265. It wasn't for that. It was for $1,580. It not only paid for my tickets, but it started paying for the necessities that I needed for the trip. And as of this morning, I have hit the goal financially that I set for the money that I need for the trip to Uganda. God's good. God is good. The yellow fever shot was $240. It's paid for. I had to get it. Couldn't do without it because you can't get the visa without the card. Don't have to have the COVID shot, but I do have to take the test before we go to make sure I'm negative. So please pray that I'm negative at that time. But I've got no place to quit. Now, I've talked to my wife, and we've talked about it. And we've agreed that if certain things begin happening, I'm done. Done. Heard about John R. Rice before he died. He was preaching and lost control of some of his bodily functions. I pray I don't get to that point. But at a certain point, my wife and I, we've agreed, we already know what to look for, what to do. She's going to say, no more. We're done. At that point, I'll be okay with it. You know, just like God gives you grace for dying, I know I'm not going to die because I don't have that dying grace right now. Just I don't think so. But I think when I get to that point, Pastor, I'll say, yeah, I'm done. But until then, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Father, bless the